It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. Hour number two on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That was a good hour. We got a lot of stuff in. We started with the Astros. If you haven't been with us, if you're just tuning in, Astros lose 2 out of 3. Should have won 2 out of 3. Should have had that Saturday night game. You got Brian Abreu and Josh Hader going in the 8th and 9th, and you lose the game after you had a lead. They bounce back, man. They've been falling behind, and they bounce back, and they've been, you know, it's been so rough. So the last 10 games, they've fallen behind every single game. To start the game, they've been behind only a couple of times, 1-0. Usually it's 2-0 or 4-0. I mean, it's been terrible. Maybe 3 times it's been 1-0. And then they tied it up or took the lead. But if you got to struggle to fight back every single game, it's not a recipe that you're looking for. But they have fought back. They fought back yesterday. They fought back on Saturday. They fought back yesterday. And they lose 2 out of 3. Taylor Trammell, what a game he had. Christian Hunter is starting to hit now, Lance. Christian Hunter is starting to look pretty damn good.
Walker?
What did I say? Hunter? Yeah. Hunter? Wow. Christian Walker is starting. He's starting to hit. He's starting to come up with big hits. He's got his average up. He's got his OPS over 600.
He lit it up yesterday, man. That was a bomb.
650. He's closing in. I he's going to be – by the time this season ends, Christian Walker's OPS is going to be 750 or higher.
Ooh.
Yep. He's at 650-something now. He's at 660 now. God, he's going to be over 750 when it's all said and done.
Low.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the – I mean, he did miss the games because of the baby. He had a baby, which, okay, whatevs. 1 for 4, 2 for 4, 0 for 0 for 0 for, 1 for 4, 1 for 5, 1 4 for 5, 1 for 5, 2 for 5, 4 for 5. He's hitting 327 this month with an 868 OPS. 327, 868 OPS. I'm going to take that.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Last month, not so much. 646 OPS. 221 average, 646. The month before, 627. I mean, 697 before that. He's got his OPS up to 868 in a pretty big sample size now. This is what, the 21st today?
Yeah. He's knocking runs in. I think he's going to get better. The question is how much better, because I saw someone put together – now, they're blaming – this particular post was blaming Jeff Bagwell for Christian Walker, too. So he said, look at Jeff Bagwell's first baseman. And they put together the amount of money for Abreu and Walker and their performances. I don't know why Bagwell gets the Christian Walker, but I think somebody just wanted to take a shot at Jeff. They just wanted to take a shot at the first baseman, and they couldn't just let him ride because of – Abreu. But when you look at the first baseman play, you look at the pay and then the performance of the first base, it's been pretty miserable for 4 years. Or
yeah.
3 years, I guess.
3 years now.
Yeah. Because
3 years now.
Abreu really didn't even make it to the third year.
The year before it was Yuli who had.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Well,
that was miserable too, except for the postseason.
Except
that
the
was
postseason.
Actually a terrible regular season.
No, except the postseason. You're right. Yeah. It was awful.
21, you got a league leader, a batting champ. 22. Terrible. 23, atrocious.
Yeah.
24, so bad that they had to get rid of the player, pay him off, and John Singleton came back.
Well, guess what?
He's back again.
John Singleton is back, baby. It's
never a great sign for your first base play when John Singleton is back on the roster.
Well, he's been crushing it, though, at Sugar
Land. I know. But...
just crushing it. But I don't know. He's just got to come off the bench because you're not pulling Christian Walker now. Okay, especially you're not going to platoon him, that's for sure, because that's all you face is right-handers, because that's all, you know. So, I mean, you got to – I don't know what you're going to do. John Singleton, a pinch hitter, I guess, okay. If you need a home run, okay. Okay. Maybe DH every once in a while, because you still – Yordan is still – yeah, okay. So, now you got Pena on the IL, Paredes on the IL,
Jordan on the IL. Holy crap. That's a lot of offense. That's a lot of offense.
Right.
But you got Taylor Trammell coming to the rescue. That's what you got. Zach Short coming up with huge hits.
Many people are saying potentially related to Allen Trammell. Taylor Trammell related to Allen Trammell.
Well,
that's what has been discussed, at least.
Well, that's what he said in the press.
There's been questions about it.
Yeah. When asked about if he said, yeah, people are asking if I'm related to Allen. Not really.
He said it used to bother him, but he realized, oh, he's a Hall of Famer. And so they said, it probably bothered him because he said, A, we pronounce our last names different, and B, he's a white guy.
I am not.
Could have been.
Well, a lot of people also call him Tony.
Well, he has been called Tony on this show previously.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Well, that's why I say a lot of people do that, though. A lot of people. Mm. So there is that.
By the way, you see the Dodgers still can't win. Dodgers and Yankees are.
I know.
The Astros just get in your head.
How about that? How about the Dodgers are and it's like one of the most talented teams in baseball history, and they can't win. I just love that. That's my faves. And they still got a 3.5 game lead over the Padres. Right? I mean, it's just embarrassing. The Astros, and they still have a half game lead on the Astros too. Mm-hmm. The Astros are 57-42. The Dodgers are 50. Ever since that series, neither team has played well. And neither team. They're 2-8 since that series. The Astros are 3-7. That's how bad they played since that series. Of course, they lost those three games, and the Astros won those three games.
I know. The Astros have lost three series in a row since then.
Who's the hottest team in baseball? The Brewers.
Yeah.
The Brewers.
They're a good team.
They're tied with the Cubs, who stole their manager, Craig Counsell.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs stole their manager, jumped out to the lead, and now all of a sudden, whoa, the Brewers are right there and tied for the lead. Baseball's getting pretty good. Other than the American League Central, I mean, you want to talk about a bunch of garbage other than Detroit in that. But they get to play all that garbage all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're running away with the damn thing, and they're going to get a bye. Although the Astros are still 57-42. They're only 2.5 games behind them.
Right.
Just 2.5 games behind the Tigers.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not. There's just not a dominant team in the AL in Major League Baseball. Really,
no.
You just don't have that. You know, oh, this is the team. It's just a matter of time. We're just playing the season out, and this is the big favorite. It just doesn't exist right now in baseball, and I don't think it's going to. And especially in the AL, I know the Yankees and Dodgers. You know, appear to have everything. But the Yankees every year appear to have. Every year there's articles like, why are the Yankees underperforming? The Yankees disappoint. Every year the Yankees supposedly have. They've got Aaron Judge and cannot win a World Series. Okay. They've got Aaron freaking Judge and cannot win a World Series. They can barely, you know, getting there is hard enough for them. And they've got a player whose numbers are on par with Babe Ruth's in terms of dominance. Like, he's one of the most dominant players we've ever seen in the history of the sport. And what do they do with it? Nothing.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, it's great, though. It's fantastic that happens to them.
Yeah, I forgot Jake. Childish Altuve says, what about Jake? All-star IL list. Yep. All of them, all-stars. And out. And, yeah, the Niner is not having a good year. No, he's just not. And Caratini continues to rake. Yiner, though, comes up with big hits, though, for you. Yiner comes up with big hits. He's not having a good year, though. He's certainly not. That slider away is just and he flails at it so badly. It just is like, wow, Yiner. I mean, he chases some really, really bad pitches. Really bad pitches. The Astros, though, despite this 3-7 over the last 10, still with the second biggest lead of any division leader. Second biggest lead in baseball. Although it is only 4 games. And the Dodgers are 3.5. There's some good races, though. Blue Jays are 3 ahead of the Yankees. The Phillies are a half a game ahead of the Mets. The Cubs and Brewers are tied for the division lead. And then the Dodgers and Padres, 3.5. A lot of good baseball. A lot of good baseball going on. And it's back, thank God. Last week with the All-Star game, holy crap. Wow, you talk about nothing. Nothing to do other than watch Scottie Scheffler just win everything. All right, we got a break. And we got a new advertiser to the program. Would love. I went there to Collector's Firearms. Holy crap. If you've never been to Collector's Firearms, okay, it's on Voss and Westheimer. They moved. They used to be over on Richmond. Now they're at Voss and Westheimer. You want to talk about a store. It's the best damn gun shop in the world. That's not an exaggeration. They have more guns. I think there might be some place. Danny thought that there might be some place in Atlanta that has as many or more guns than they have there. But listen, nobody has a wider selection of new and pre-owned guns, okay? Handguns, rifles, shotguns. If you're a gun enthusiast, now it says collector's firearms, but there's a lot more than collectors. It's like a museum with military and antiques and memorabilia, but they also offer the widest selection of new and pre-owned guns and swords and bayonets and everything you could possibly want. I mean, it's incredible, this store. It's huge, huge. You've never seen anything like it. You want to sell your gun? You can do that there as well. Make sure that you tell them that you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're a first-time buyer. They can help you out, knowledgeable. You want to just protect yourself. You want to hunt, whatever it is that you're looking for. They've got everything. All right. They also buy guns if you're looking to sell your gun. They got locations in Dallas and Austin, 7626 Westheimer at Voss. It is a huge store. You can't miss it. Collectorsfirearms.com. Collectorsfirearms.com. Collectors Firearms, the best damn gun shop in the world.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yikes. I didn't realize this. The Astros starters going into yesterday, 5.42 ERA in July. That's not good.
No.
Yeah.
No, and it's, you know, Hunter's been bad in his last three outings relative to what we're used to with Hunter. Lance McCullers has been bad. And really, frankly, your hold-on guys that you're just relying on until some help comes off the injured list, which is going to probably take a while, it's not really going as swimmingly for them either.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you extended your lead in July.
Yeah. Well,
up to this point, at least. Not anymore. You did.
Yeah. You did, and this run has just been, this 10-game run has been awful. 713-780-3776, you've got any thoughts on anything, you're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776. All right, so the Texans, okay, a couple of things about them. Somebody, I don't know who this guy is, maybe you know him. This guy is Poulin. His name is Ben Poulin.
Okay.
Of House of Houston.
Okay.
Never heard of him. The best bang for the buck free agent who could seamlessly step in to a role the Texans need, Gabe Davis. He was just released by the Texans division rival Jaguars and might be interested in two revenge games in a new uniform. What makes this scenario more palatable is that Davis is likely to come at a price the Texans can afford. SpotTrack places his expected value well within Houston's budget, around $13
million. I'd be worried about how's Gabe Davis getting released at the age of 26.
Dude had 20 catches in 10 games last year. You're going to get $13 million?
Yeah, I don't know. There's got to be something there. Physically, or I mean, this is a player. Now he's a straight line vertical receiver, but in 2022, he had 48 catches for 836 yards. So he's not a volume catch guy. Like I said, the most catches he's ever had has been 48, and that was on 93 targets. So he's, 20 catches last year on 42 targets. He is a low completion percentage type player. He's a field stretcher with size, but, I mean, I would be – with the Buffalo Bills – his touchdown per catch numbers were pretty impressive, but I would be extremely concerned if Jacksonville's already releasing him after 1 year. They signed him to a deal, and they're already releasing him after 1 year.
Three-year, $39 million deal, and they got rid of him after one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not $13 million, that's for sure. I ain't giving Gabe Davis $13 million.
So the release is reportedly due to disappointing performance and injury, and because they took a big cap hit.
Well, he only played in 10 games, but he only had 20 catches in those 10 games.
And he had a torn meniscus in week 11 of the season last year. So
yeah.
I mean, it's nice. You're looking at the name. I get it. But you got to really go do some work on him because – Jacksonville's willing to get their butts kicked from a cap standpoint to get rid of him. That's not great. He didn't do anything last year. He's never been a high performance player. He's had some moments, but it's an interesting name until you start really churning around and figuring out, man, he's 26 and they're already getting rid of him. I'll bet he goes back to Buffalo.
Could well. Or he sits until somebody gets a major injury at wide receiver.
Oh, so he failed a physical was the last straw.
Yeah. Yeah, he might have to sit anyway. I don't know that I'd sign him. If he sits for a while mid-season or a couple, three, four games in, somebody has a major injury at wide receiver, I mean, the dude can make some money then. And maybe he'll be healthier, too, with a little bit more time. I ain't giving Gabe Davis $13 million. No, thank you.
You don't have to. I mean, He's going to be. He's just a veteran free agent now. So whatever he gets is going to be.
Well, SpotTrack puts his value at 13.
Nice try, SpotTrack.
Yeah, you're trying to fool us. Bill O'Brien's running SpotTrack now.
I don't know. $13 million. Who knows? Just offer it, Chris.
Bet MGM has the Texans win total at 9.5. 9.5. Vic Tafer from The Athletic says it is the best buy on the board. Texans over 9.5.
I like it too. Yeah, it's an easier schedule than last year. I like it too. You got great play defensively. You didn't get great play offensively, and you won 10 games.
Yeah, and speaking of that, we've got another story. They were 4-1 in games where they had both Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs before injuries and predictable play calling exposed a terrible offensive line. CJ was sacked 54 times, understandably a little jumpy. The offensive line is still a big concern, but Nick Cayley will be more innovative than Bobby Slowick with X's and O's. And we like the additions of Christian Kirk and Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel with Collins. With their great pass rush, it's impossible not to see the Texans winning at least 10 games for a third straight season.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. Now, the whole question is the offensive line.
But they weren't good last year and they won 10 games.
Yeah.
I mean, but you don't want him to. Yeah, I mean,
no, but
that
CJ,
offensive line.
I don't think CJ could take the beating of another 54 sack year.
Yeah.
No. They gotta be better. And maybe, Nick Cayley calls all the good plays. That's what I like.
Yeah, we're hoping.
Even he's saying this. Bobby Slowick, it was just all the bad plays he called. Are we? This is just an assumption that we're all making. Boy, Nick Cayley, wow!
Well,
by
I'm not. I mean, that was always stupid that Bobby Slowick was the look. There's things that you may not like about it in terms of allowing C.J. Stroud to get out of certain protections, get himself protected with, you know, to trust in that. Maybe there's tendencies or whatever, but you know, the people who just made excuses for C.J. just acted like it's all play design. Wide receiver route designs. I heard a lot about route designs from some of these coordinators, these Twitter coordinators. The route designs. Look, the execution wasn't very good. You can blame offensive line play on the coordinator if you want, but it gets down to O-line coach and players. And I think there's some of the same issues that you have with players, just new players. But it could be some of the same issues. You just want them to at least be smarter and have better instincts in pass pro. But the other thing is, you know, CJ has to throw the ball more accurately. He has to play quicker in terms of processing what he wants to do. That stuff it's not really tied to Bobby Slowick's play calling. There's stuff that CJ has to do too. Slowick, Chris Strausser, the O-line coach, the offensive lineman, and frankly, C.J. Stroud. Those are all guys that need to be better. Two of the coaches are gone, so you want the other coaches to be better. The new players that came in, you want them to perform at a higher level. The old players who are still there, you need them to play better than they did last year. But also, the fact is, C.J. Stroud must play better this year. Yeah. The excuses for him, look, we all love C.J., but you can't look at last year like you really are calling him a horse turd quarterback. If you look at him last year and you say, that's what CJ is. No, he's not. He's much better than that. He's much better than that. He has to play better than that this year.
Well, some of it had to do with how crappy the offensive line was. He was jumpy. He was throwing balls earlier than he should have maybe.
Yeah.
But Warren Sharp broke down most inaccurate passers in the red zone. Just inaccuracies, and CJ was up there.
Yeah,
he was just not. It just not great. It just wasn't great last year. It wasn't good last year, and they still won 10 games. So, hopefully CJ's going to be better, and hopefully he gets a lot of help. Hopefully Nick Caley is great. Hopefully these wide receivers are going to get open. Hopefully they'll have a running game. But where their offense ranks as far as explosiveness, we'll do that on the other side. Right now, though, I'm talking about I don't know how many times I've talked about this, but I really love family-owned businesses that are passed down from generations. And Brinkman is one of those. Since 1973, Jason and the Brinkmans have adhered to the same old-school values of integrity, respect, and doing things right. Jason Brinkman is now yet another Brinkman. His grandfather started this. Brinkman Quality Roofing Solutions. His connection to the company traces back to his grandfather and head of the photography division for NASA here in Houston. He instilled a sense of pride and commitment to quality that has continued through generations. That's not just talk, all right? Quality is in their name, BrinkmanQuality.com, BrinkmanQuality.com, BrinkmanQuality.com. And
Houston.
He wants to make sure that you take care of your roof because you need to do that. A free estimate. You can get a free estimate or a free consultation. Maybe you don't need anything, but at least to get a clean bill of health. But if you haven't done anything with your roof in years, you need to. Free consultation, 844-215-2841. 844-215-2841 or BrinkmanQuality.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us. Let's go get some calls in here. Y'all wanted to play the game, but you don't want to play the game, the other game, right? All right, y'all wanted to play What'd You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence.
Right.
But what about the regular season? okay? That was the Commissioner's Cup. That's a Commissioner's Cup every week. But you don't want to play in the regular season game? You load managing your calls?
Hey, how about this? You know what I learned this weekend? I didn't talk about it. I learned that there is, in spring, I never go out to spring. I went to, my wife and I had a reservation for four, and then the other couple couldn't go in, and I had my friend Dusty. We had a great dinner with my boy Dusty and his wife. There's a restaurant out in spring called Belly of the Beast, and it's in a strip center. And the chef won a James Beard Award, which is like the Oscars of food. It also is a Bib Gourmand for Michelin, which is a really, really big deal, the Michelin star. This place, you go to the restaurant, it's in a strip center. Like, you know, if you need to get a vape, you can also get a vape a couple stores over, businesses over. There's a vape shop there. And then you walk into this restaurant, like, the food is tremendous. Service is tremendous. We went out there. It takes you 3 to 4 weeks to get a reservation. Because they only are open 4 days a week for 4 hours. Because this husband and wife team, like, they want to also be with the family. And the chef is, he was with Hugo Ortega. Like, he's a really good chef. But they're only open from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's it. And we were the last ones in there. But because we had an 8:15. I had no idea. Like, I knew spring. I don't know anything about spring. And I knew this restaurant's really good. We love this restaurant. And the owner, she's like, oh, there's a speakeasy. You can just walk over to the speakeasy, too. We walk 40 yards, and we go in the back, and it's like a speakeasy like you'd find it, like I've been to in Chicago or New York or Mexico City. I mean, the way it looks, you know what I mean? And the drinks were really good, too. And I'm like, this is all out in spring? We got one of the best restaurants in Houston, and a legitimate speakeasy spot in Spring, Texas. I had no idea you were. I was not familiar with your game, Spring. I had no idea.
Spring is
I guess
Texas
so.
Card House. They got it all.
They got Texas Card House there.
Spring.
I had no
spring
idea.
Is spring is rocking.
It's a little bit of a trip for me. My son lives about 15 minutes from the restaurant now. So we're going out to. He's working on his house. He's trying to do it all by himself. Like. You know, it's expensive to have someone come out and fix up your house. It's his first house, and the first thing he has to do is get popcorn off the walls, not just the ceilings. In fact, he's leaving it on the ceilings, off the side walls. You know how much work that is? That's crazy work. I was out there helping William one weekend. I'm like, I ain't never coming back here to help. It's too much.
All right, so before we went to break, we mentioned that the Texans' offense, okay, projecting the most explosive NFL offenses in 2025, from first to worst. First, Bills. Second, Lions. I don't think so. Losing Ben Johnson's going to affect that offense.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah,
well, I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs still lives and breathes.
Yeah.
And so does Jameson Williams and that kid who does Jameson Williams moves. And Sam Laporta, even though Laporta was not as big a factor last year. They still have a great offensive line. Like, I'm with you on the – but the one thing I always point to is when you have a dominant offensive line and an explosive – and they have Amon-Ra St. Brown, I don't know. I don't think they can win it at the same level with Ben Johnson out because he's so good in the red zone. But, man, they got some dudes now.
Yeah. No, they're pretty good, but – I think I take the Bengals' offense ahead of them. I think I take the Eagles' offense, the Ravens' offense. I'm gonna say they're gonna fall off a little bit this year, maybe fifth in the league. This list has Lions second, Ravens third, Eagles, Bengals, Cowboys, Commanders, Chiefs. I'm not putting the Chiefs in the top 10
right now.
Look how
far down the Chiefs are now. What number is
that?
Well,
and
10?
I don't even think they're top 10.
Yeah, and you know what? And why would they be?
No. They were not good last year.
They're not winning
know.
Their division.
And now they're yet another year
oh,
older. Kelce's
again.
Another
yeah,
year
they're
older.
Not, this
they're
time,
getting Rashee
I mean,
Rice back. He'll
I
miss
mean
like four
time.
Or five games.
They
we're doing this thing
winning.
Again where we trust the Broncos or the Chargers to take
Chargers.
Out the Chiefs.
Not the Broncos. I don't
the
trust
Chargers.
The Broncos. Chargers.
We saw the Chargers.
They're
we just saw the Chargers in the playoff game. and they were terrible.
Harbaugh. The run game, we're getting the ground and pound is going, Dell. We're not going to rely on Justin Herbert as much. We're getting the ground and pound going.
We saw that last year.
But explosive. They're Harbaugh.
Yeah, they're not going. Well, they're still going to win the division. I'm not putting them on the explosive list. They got Ladd McConkey.
Great. And what else?
Ladd the Honky.
That's not his name. Ladd McConkey and who else?
A couple running backs.
They're still counting on Quentin Johnston to make plays.
Well, oh, my God. He's dropping passes already.
He's going to have stickier gloves this year.
Supposedly.
Tyler Conklin.
Who?
Omarion Hampton.
Yeah. That
guy. And Najee. Yeah.
No, now, I think they are going to.
They're not going to be explosive, though.
No, they're not really. That's not Harbaugh's offenses. It's not about explosiveness. It's about eating up clock, wearing you down, and beating you up. And I think you'll see that. I think they're continuing to add to that. The Chiefs are on the way down. There's no getting around it. The Texans outplayed the Chiefs in Kansas
City. The Chiefs won more games than they ever have in the regular season last year. And I know everyone was like, look, refs, luck.
Yeah, that's right.
They won their most regular season games in their history last year.
Have you seen the AI where Andy Reid kisses the referee?
And they made the Super Bowl, by the way. You know what? I would love to be on the way down. Yeah, you got your ass kicked, but still rule the AFC. I'm not taking the Chargers and Justin Herbert to win the division.
Well, they won because of their defense last year.
And their defense remains. I know Justin Reid is gone, but their defense remains.
We're talking about explosive offense.
No, but he's talking about winning the division. He switched to that when he said the Chargers.
I know. He switches all the time. Number nine is the 49ers. They got the 49ers, number nine. Packers, Chargers, Tampa, Minnesota 13, Texans 14. And it's all because of the offensive line, because they got weapons.
Who do they have 14?
Texans.
Yeah.
Got the Rams 15.
I would say look out for the Texans.
I would say too.
I would say for sure inside of that number. You've got three deep ball threats now. Jaden Higgins can get deep with his size, and he's got actually decent speed. But you've got a legitimate – your number one wide receiver can win on all three levels. And Jalen Noel, I cannot stress this enough, Jalen Noel is crazy fast. I know that Tank is quick and gets open. Jalen Noel is really fast. So, I think for sure the Texans are more explosive. I get it. You're coming off of a not very good offensive season, but, man, if you just get average offensive line play, you're going to have a lot more explosive plays than you think this year.
Yeah. I think I'll tell you another team that's going to fall off is Tampa. Without Liam Cohen, they're going to fall off. And yeah. Baker overplayed last year. I mean, he's still got the weapons. He still got Godwin and Emeka Ogbuka. I mean, they love them some wide receivers now. But without certain play callers, it makes a huge difference. And I think Detroit is going to – I know they have weapons, and I know Tampa has weapons, but it's not – what if they get Bobby Slowick?
Well, the Eagles lost their – play caller too. He's now the Saints head coach, Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I mean they could fall off too this year.
I don't think so. Well, a lot of these guys how much of your success is tied to play design and how much is tied to talent.
Well, they had to fire Brian Johnson because he didn't know what he was doing. So it's not like we saw the Eagles in the back half of last year. Their offense wasn't as potent. Now they didn't have Saquon, but they had the receivers. They had an offensive line. They had Jalen Hurts, and they said, "Hey, Brian Johnson, you're not good enough, so you got to go." So, Petullo was on the. He's the new OC. He was on the staff. He was promoted upward. So we'll see if he just copy and paste what Kellen Moore did.
Was he the Commanders' head coach?
Who?
Petullo.
I don't know. Was he an interim at some point?
He took over 1 year. Didn't
he? Might have. He was on the Titans staff. He might have. For when they get fired someone, I don't know, though.
Yeah, I think, he took over as an interim one. He took over as an interim one for one. I forget which team it was. Anyway, the Texans 14th. A little disrespectful. No, You were a little disrespectful yourself.
Well, I understand if you don't trust them to block anyone. I get why you put them right in the middle.
I told you we're going to keep a tight end in. We're going to keep a running back in. We're going to put two receivers out there.
That feels like you're less explosive if you're continuing to keep guys in.
That's the way we're going to explode. All right? Nico's just going to – and Jaden and Jalen and Christian, all the ins are all going to just dominate.
All of them, huh?
All the ends.
Will Christian Kirk be a progress stopper? Will he keep one of your more explosive wide receivers off the field because he's got to play?
Because
they paid him for a year.
He's going to be explosive.
Well, where's Jalen Noel? Strictly an outside guy? Is he a slot guy?
Slot. I think he can play. Well, he's small, but I think you can play him outside just a stretch.
So is he going to lose snaps?
I wouldn't be surprised. I got to go back and look. But I think it would be. I think it gives you a big advantage to flip-flop Noel when they're in the game together. I mean, Christian Kirk. See, I may be putting too much on either Higgins or Noel because Christian Kirk is going to play if he's healthy. And, I mean, you can only have three wide receivers. You may go to some four wide receiver sets, but usually you're going to be in three. And I would assume Noel maybe doesn't play. And I think they'll use Jaden Higgins as a big slot where he's going to have a big advantage for teams that don't travel their corners. He's going to be a big size mismatch from time to time. But once again, I don't know how Nick Cayley's going to call his plays. I do know this. With the Rams, you know, they're not afraid to run. They've had Cooper Kupp there. They've run some Puka Nacua in there. They like strong ball winners in the slot. That's kind of who they feel like there's a big advantage there. So that would be Jaden Higgins, frankly.
Yeah.
Probably more so than Christian Kirk.
We'll see.
I don't know. You know, I don't know what to expect. I really don't. Now, Liam Cohen came from you mentioned Liam Cohen from Tampa. So he was with the Rams. Then he went to Kentucky as an OC. Then he went back to the Rams. I think that's the – was it Kentucky, Rams, Kentucky? Or I think it was
Rams, Kentucky,
Kentucky
back
Rams.
To Rams.
Then he went to Tampa. So he's got some of that Rams juice too. And, you know, so does Nick Cayley. So we're just – that's the new – it used to be the Kyle Shanahan San Francisco juice. Now it's the Rams juice. Everyone wants the – you know, you got Minnesota also coming from that family tree, their head coach and play caller. So
it was Rams, Kentucky, Rams, then Kentucky.
Okay, so that's what it was.
And then he got hired by Tampa.
Yeah. I don't know I can't remember the Kentucky – coming, but they did have some teams that were pretty decent over there when he was with Kentucky.
All right, we got a break. We got to talk about game day men's health. Got to talk about your health. Got to talk about you doing your testosterone. Got to talk about how flexible they are, how good they are, how they are, whatever it is that you're looking to do. I was there last week, as a matter of fact. I went on Thursday and got the full evaluation, and I got to tell you, I just think they care more. I think that they're going to work harder for you. I think they're going to get you to where you want to go. They've got all the peptides that you need to be better, to be great. I feel great. And listen, I've been doing testosterone for a while, and I know the game. I know the testosterone game. And it's just better. Game Day Men's Health is just better. Labs right on site. Free evaluation. Find out whether or not you are a candidate for testosterone replacement. And then all the testosterones, whatever it is that you're looking to do, they have that peptide to help you get there. They have all the peptide. They've got the testosterone treatment. They got everything you could possibly need with 11 locations around the city. I just think, and if it's a little bit of a ride for you, I just think it's worth it. I really do. I do. I go further than I was. There was a place around the corner from me. But I said, nah, I'd much rather take a little ride and go to Game Day Men's Health. But there are locations popping up all over, 11 locations in the city. Find the Game Day Men's Health location nearest you, GameDayMen'sHealth.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance along with Dell. Wood's been waiting. We said call 713-780-3776. Wood is here. What up, Wood?
Fellas, how y'all doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
Hey, y'all were talking about great food in Spring. One of the best barbecue restaurants is off of in Old Spring off of 2920 Corkscrew. You can't go wrong with them. Then another one is right off of 2920 in Tomball called the Chocolate Factory Barbecue. Those are the best barbecue places y'all can have as far as barbecue. Now, when it comes to Nick Casario, I'm gonna put it like this: Nick, D'Amico Ryan is running the defense, and he's the head coach, but he's letting Nick Casario put together the offense. And Nick Casario has not, in the 5 years we have been here, put together an offensive line that can protect Mills or C.J. Stroud. That's our biggest problem, is our offensive line. It's not C.J. C.J. showed that first year what he's capable of. The second year, the offensive line even got worse. There were no offensive adjustments. The defenses were blitzing on second and third down off the chain. Nobody was making any adjustments on that defense, on that offensive line. That was the biggest problem. And now our blind side tackle is gone, where at least we was able to protect the blind side. He's not going to have any protection now, because what you're bringing in here has been from other teams that we're hoping that we can put together. And we're missing some good coaches that can coach up these players here. Right now, we don't have nobody can coach up CJ the proper way that he needs to be coached up.
Well, I don't know. We don't know if Nick Cayley is.
I don't see how you can say that, because we have no idea.
You can't say that right now. We got Nick Cayley. We have no idea how good he's going to be. And by the way, Bobby Slowick was really good, CJ's first year, and then not. So, I mean, I think part of it might have to do with how poorly the offensive line played. We'll see. How can you say they don't have anybody that can coach CJ up? We haven't seen one game with Nick Cayley.
I don't know. Jared Johnson is still there. Like, unless you think the quarterback coach Jared Johnson should go.
If they didn't do a thing this offseason, then we got a problem, right? If they'd have just said, it's okay, we're not concerned. Bobby's just fine. Bobby did a fine job. The offensive line is fine. We'll get it together. Now we got a problem. But they made a bunch of moves. I'm not sure the moves are good as far as the personnel goes. But you're kind of limited in what you can do. Not everybody is going to be, an all-pro offensive lineman, because you just can't do that. But let's take a look at it first, Wood. Let's see. At least they did something.
Like, talking about it last year, yeah. But let's see. Like, I don't see how you can say it's a case moving forward until we see what the new guys do. I'm going to tell you now. I don't know that Cole Popovich and Nick Cayley are just. I just really don't know that they're going to love how this offensive. The talent that they have, but it's Cole Popovich's job. My dad had some horse. Nah, I shouldn't say that. He had some in college and pros. On some different teams, he had some less than talented offensive lines to work with. He had some others that were okay. But when you have that, all you can do is get them as prepared as possible to play to the best of their ability. That's all you can do. But they've got to play to the best of their ability. And then the other thing you can do as an offensive line coach, you get their technique as good as they can, because you're only as good physically as you are. But your technique can be good, and then your mental can be good. You can recognize what you're supposed to do and anticipate things, and that comes with coaching. And if you are a dumb offensive lineman, I mean, I'm sorry, we got to call it like it is. If you're a dumb offensive lineman or you have no instincts, then there's not a coach in the world that's going to be able to help you, because you keep getting – and you'll just be off a team. And that's Nick Casario's job, to get him out of here and get new guys on there. It's Cole Popovich's job. And it's to a lesser extent the offensive coordinator's job to help put the offensive lineman in the best position to succeed, and then it's up to the offensive lineman to execute. I don't know what Popovich is going to do. I don't know what Kaylee's going to do. Was it a problem last year? Oh, I agree with you on that, Wood. But I don't know if, like, CJ still has to, when he's got open throws, he's got to deliver the ball accurately. That's his strength. That's like what we, that all the eggs are in that basket is that he's a super hyper-accurate quarterback. It wasn't the case last year. He was overthrowing and missing badly on out routes that used to be absolute 100% money. And it can't just be blamed on, well, the offensive line. No, there were times that he had plenty of time. The internal clock shouldn't have been going off, and he was just missing throws. And that started early in the season, too. John, we were talking about that in the first 5 weeks. It wasn't late in the season. It was early in the season he was missing those throws. I don't know what was up.
To Wood's point, his point about Nick Caserio, John, you said, how much could you have done in one off season? But he did point back to, since he's been here, should Nick Caserio take the brunt of the criticism since 2021 of not being able to put together a good offensive line? We're now into what? Years, season six of him going into season six of him being around? And has the offensive line ever been above average since he's been around?
No.
So, yes, he couldn't have done, he probably couldn't have done a lot this offseason, but it's not like he just got here. And he's missed on picks. And, of course, right or wrong, they decided Laramie Tunsil had to go for reasons beyond just play. So, it's been a long runway to try to get this thing figured out.
Yeah.
And no, so far, absolutely. He's failed.
No, he has. The offensive line is his biggest failure. He's done, I think, maybe. What do you think of his – I mean
– I think he's been okay drafting.
He's gotten good
really
linebackers, but he also lets them go. I think offensive line first, linebacker second have been his biggest flaws.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at his draft record, you know, you have some of the – you kind of have some of the Rick Smith stuff where you got some really big hits and then a lot of misses because Rick had a lot of success in the first round, and which is key. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, those are two Hall of Fame caliber players. So you definitely get credit for that. But
I'm not talking about just draft. I mean, you can pick guys up in free agency too.
Yeah.
Or
oh well, yeah, yeah. Oh,
I mean, Blake losing Blake Cashman was a big mistake.
Well, supposedly Blake just wanted to get back home to Minnesota, so I'm not sure they could have hung on to him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's because I'm kind of the same way, and there's no question to me Blake for Azeez is a loss on the field at least. But D'Amico is a strong believer in what Azeez brings to the locker room and the field in terms of toughness. He knew him back in the San Francisco days, and maybe Cashman was never going to come back because he played college ball at Minnesota, and he went back to the Vikings. So maybe there was something in that. But yeah, it's going to haunt Nick. It's going to haunt Nick if he doesn't fix offensive line. And we're not asking for him to be the Lions or the Detroit Lions or Eagles. I would love it if their offensive line was that good. The city of Houston, and more importantly, C.J. Stroud, just needs a serviceable top. If you want to win a title, you probably need top 12 offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, so I misspoke.
Top 10.
This is – he just finished his fifth draft. He's going into his fifth season. I think I said six. So five drafts, fifth season. At some point, that's enough time to figure it out.
I think Mechie is a miss in the second round. He drafted him a round too early. Right now, it looks like Juice Scruggs was drafted around too early, and that's going to be a miss. Those are two second-rounders. Jalen Petrie, I call him a hit. I don't know if you would, John. He was a 37th pick, though. Like he was drafted a little earlier than I expected as well.
I think he's – well, I tell you what, I think this is a big year for him. I think he's been a hit so far. He lost a lot of time last year with the injury. He's been up and down, though, and his tackling – his tackling, I think, has been an issue, but I think he's been. I think this year will decide whether or not he's a hit or miss.
Look at the third round, though. Some of the third round guys he's drafted:
Nico
Collins, Davis Mills has been fine as a backup third rounder. That's where you get backups. Christian Harris, when he plays,
can Davis Mills be classified as fine when in a game they had to have they'd rather have Case run out there and play.
Well, I'm saying fine as though he's still on the roster. He's still a backup. I mean, he is a backup. He had to play starting reps where he wasn't ready to do that. And he's frankly not a starter. He's a backup. But I'm not killing him for that pick as a third-round pick based on the situation they were in at the time. But, yeah, maybe I don't even mention him. I'll just mention Nico Collins, third round. You have Tank Dell, third round, which is a hit. It's just unfortunately may turn into a miss just because of injuries. Christian Harris, Kalen Bullock.
Yeah, it's a
and
hit.
And this year you got Jalen Smith, we'll find out, and then Jalen Noel. Now, for the record, Jalen Smith to me is overdrafted. I thought Juice was drafted at least a round in advance, and I didn't think he fit the scheme. Now, he should fit this scheme a little better, a lot more gap scheme. So I think Juice Scruggs, if he's going to be an NFL player, he does it this year. If he's not a plus player this year, then he's probably a cap casualty by next year. He doesn't even make it to the fourth year of his contract.
All right, we got a break. We're way behind. We got to talk about.
We
got to talk about 30 years as a discount mortgage lender. Better Business gives my man Kent Jones an A+. The Better Business Bureau gives him an A+. What does that tell you about Kent Jones and the job that he's doing? I mean, I listen. I don't know how many times I have to say this, but you know, brokers usually mean it's going to cost more because there's a middleman. Not this middleman. This middleman gets in the middle of everything. This middleman is going to find you all of the stuff that you need, especially that loan that is going to be perfect for your home, okay? He is Kent Jones, been doing this forever. He knows all the hacks. He knows how to get you that loan, not only the loan, but the agents, the title. There are so many different things that you don't have any idea about. You got to have a mortgage broker in Texas because you got to have the best way to get that loan that you don't know anything about. I've walked into so many. We bought a few houses now, and I got to tell you, it sucks because it's this fee and that fee and this fee and this fee. Kent Jones knows how to get around those. And it'll save you thousands of closing and through the life of the loan. You're looking for the best way to get that house, especially if you're a first-time buyer. You don't know anything about it. Kent Jones, okay? 713-520-5626. 713-520-LOANS. 713-520-5626 or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473. J. Ken Jones, NMLS number 356118, Equal Housing Lender.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.